I feel like she's been a friend for a long time, and now it's an honor to introduce her to you as one of our regional staff pastor. She's like the pastor right now, right? Because we're waiting for our regional pastor to be hired. They're in the search process. And she has the wonderful opportunity. She's going to talk a little bit about it later, but she gets to run camp, and she does it well. And so she answered our call to come and bring the message today, and so I introduce to you Tiff.
Good morning, church. Oh, they answered back. That's a good sign. First, I want to just take a personal privilege and say how much this church has benefited my ministry and the ministry at the Christian Conference Center. I can't think of another church in our region of the 125 we have that's as supportive of the Christian Conference Center as you. I see so many friends who make their way to camp every year, and youth who've been part of our Upper Midwest Youth Council, and counselors who even put up with me when I was in middle school. There's a few of those around too. So thank you for all the ways you support our ministry. It's our privilege to get to work with your kids. Every summer you send us your most precious resource, which is your children, and it's our privilege to get to work with them. So thanks for having me. I'm going to read today from the book of Ecclesiastes. One, I confess, I've never preached from before last night. I think most of us stop in Ecclesiastes with the part in chapter 1 that was that bird song. You remember that one? To everything there is a season, turn, turn, turn. But there's some good stuff if you keep reading. This is from chapter 5. It's about toil. The Bible calls toil what we call work. And so today we're going to talk about the opposite of toil, which is play. This is what I have seen to be good. It is fitting to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil which one toils under the sun, the few days of the life God gives us, for this is our lot. Likewise, all to whom God gives wealth and possessions and whom he enables to enjoy them and to accept their lot and find enjoyment in their toil. This is the gift of God. For they will scarcely brood over the days of their lives, because God keeps them occupied with the joy of their hearts. Will you pray with me? God, our prayer this morning, it is a simple one. I pray that among the words that are spoken, that your word will be spoken. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So around the year 2007, I was a youth minister at a church in Fort Worth, Texas, called University Christian Church. It's next to Texas Christian University. Go Frogs. And for me, it was my dream job. I was the Cairo youth minister, which meant all I did every day of the week, most days, was minister to middle school kids. And it was the perfect job for me because I love middle school kids. They're my absolute favorite. I love every strange and wonderful thing about them. To you, that may seem like a nightmare job, but to me, it was the perfect calling. And I was on a staff that was a lot of fun. And one day, about an hour before youth group was to start, I was in my office, and I was trying to get things ready to go and probably doing last-minute planning. I'd like to tell you I was praying, but I don't know if that was the case. And my boss, the full-time youth minister, came into my office, and she handed me her keys and her American Express card and said, "I just got fired. Good luck tonight." And I can assure you that then I started to pray. because not only was I going to have my group of 40 or so middle school kids, I was going to have the high school kids there, and we had an hour to figure out what we were going to do. And so I don't remember what we did. I'm sure we played games and got through the night. And then the next week came, and we decided at that meeting, we would give the kids a chance to talk and to ask questions about what had happened and about why this staff person had been fired. And that was one of the hardest conversations I've ever sat through, because I didn't create the problem, but I had to minister to the problem. Anybody ever had that happen to you? So for about an hour and a half, these kids cried and they yelled. They were angry. Some of them were happy because they didn't like that particular pastor. Some of them were in the middle and really didn't care and wanted to know why we had to talk about this for an hour and a half. But there was a lot more anger and hurt in the room than there was happiness. And those kids were allowed to vent and share. And it felt like a very heavy room. It felt like one of those July days where the humidity is 175% and it's 97 degrees outside and the air just hits you when you walk outside. That's what it felt like, heavy in that room. And so we'd let them do this for an hour and a half, and after that time, we hit this awkward silence because we had half an hour left and we didn't know what to do. And so finally, one of the kids just says, "Can we just play a game? Please, can we just play a game?" And all the adults went, "Yes, yes, please, let's play a game. Let's think of something, anything that's silly, and let's play a game." And in the course of the next half hour, we laughed and we played and we were joyful. And my group came back together. And I saw those, I didn't see the hurt and the anger and the frustration. I saw those kids and the joyful hearts that I knew they had inside them. And I knew we were going to be okay because we could still play. I've been playing games with kids most of my life. When I was 19, I became an intern at the Christian Conference Center, and basically they pay you to play games and cook food. And so that's what I did for two summers, and then I became a youth minister, and now I'm the camp director at the Christian Conference Center. And so a lot of my life is devoted to games. Other youth ministers are great at worship and Bible study and really important things. I'm good at games. So that's what I've been doing with my life all these years since that moment. That moment taught me the power of play. The power of play to change a situation in a room. And I think as Christians, as we get older and we leave those beautiful halls over there with all the fun youth room toys, that as church, sometimes we forget how to play and we forget how to be joyful in the Lord together. So I'm going to talk about a few things that I think make a good game and also make a good church. Of course, there are bad games too. That's my friend Ryan up on the screen and our two children. Ryan and I don't have children. That's my friend Ryan and my two children. Ryan worked for me this summer, and one time we played a really bad game. It's called the broom game. And what you do is you take a broom, it's very simple, and you look up at the sky and you start twirling around with the broom like this, and you count. One, two, three, and you do that as long as you can without falling over. And when you think you're gone as far as you can without falling over, you throw the broom down, and then you try to step over it. That's the whole game. You're impressed, right? Well, Ryan and his youth minister, yours truly, are very competitive people. And so we got to play in this game one time, and Ryan got up to 30. So he spun around 30 times with his head up in the air, tried to jump over the broom and missed a step, and Ryan's head went into a cinder block wall because his youth minister couldn't catch him in time. That's a bad game. We don't play that game at my camp anymore. Ryan was prone to concussions. He had a helmet-to-helmet hit in Texas when he was growing up in high school football. And so I had to call his mother and tell her about this stupid bad game that we had played and that I had given her son another concussion. And that was a bad day. But there are a lot of good games in the world. See, I don't like the broom game, because one, it gives my kids concussions, but two, it involves one person playing and everybody else on the outside just kind of standing there. So I want to talk about not just what we can get wrong, but what we can get right when we play games together. The first is that a good game means that everyone participates. Just like in a good church, everyone participates. There are no bystanders in a good church. Have you ever heard the phrase or the quote, "There are no spectators in the kingdom of God"? That Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christianity is an all-in enterprise, and church works best when we are in it together, when nobody is standing, watching, waiting for the concussion, when we're all in there getting the concussion together, right? I hope you don't get concussions here. I don't know what goes on, but so everyone participates together. Two, great games bring people together. Great games foster a spirit of unity, not a spirit of division. And when they're played well, it means everybody in the room is together and is on board. I'm sure you know about some of those churches. There may be some in this town or this county that try to divide the people of God. The thing that I love most about the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, the reason I've dedicated my life to its ministry, is that our church tries to unite people. And we don't talk about what side of the aisle we're on or how we're going to vote or liberal and conservative. We're all here together. My pastor grew up in the independent Christian church. One of the things he said last Sunday is that everybody voted one way in his church. And he thought it was really weird when he came to a disciples church and people disagreed. But what he's found is that it's the most wonderful thing about us, is that we don't agree on everything, but we have the spirit of unity about us. We're in this church thing together. Number three, everyone has a job. In a church and a spiritual life that's functioning well, everyone has a job to do together. Just like in every game that goes well, everyone has a clear role. So what is your job at First Christian Church? Do you have one? If you don't, or if you've been on the sidelines for a while, where could you pick up? Where could you do the work of God with the people around you? But everyone should have a job when church is going well. Third, that's a little small. There should be a clear objective. Now, objectives are hard in church because it's hard to get past the most obvious one, which is to get more people in the pews and more money in the plate. But there are other objectives that churches can strive for. To be closer, to grow in our faith, feel closer to one another, to feel closer to God, to feel like your life is more closely mirroring the scriptures. So there are lots of objectives you can set. I wonder how many of you, at the beginning of the year, January's not over, so you could do it today, how many of you set a goal for your faith life this year? I got to thinking, I have never done that, or not in a long time. And every year, I've set goals for myself academically. I've set goals for myself professionally. We've set goals for our family financially. But when is the last time we set a family goal to grow and a clear objective to grow in our faith this year? So we've only got 1 month gone. You have 11 more to find a goal and to work at it. It could be to attend worship 52 times this year, to give 1% more, to open your Bible in the evening, to pray more for others instead of for yourself. But some clear goal that helps us grow in our faith. Lastly, games are fun. I know this might sound crazy. I think church should be fun, and church should be joyful. And when we play together as the family of God, church takes on that spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes in. I've been in churches where they've lost that spirit of joy. I travel to all 125 churches in our region, Iowa, Minnesota, and North and South Dakota, and there are churches in our denomination that have lost that spirit of fun and playfulness and joyfulness, and I just wish I could make them play a game. I think a lot of problems in our churches, even in our government, could be solved if at the start of the congressional session, those senators and congressmen and congresswomen had to play group building games before they voted on anything. If I was in charge, that's what would happen. But never lose that spirit of fun about church. Never lose that the joyful noise that we hear with the pitter-patter of little feet. My mentor used to tell me, never get angry about kids running in church because that is the Holy Spirit walking down that hallway. And so every time that little playful spirit runs by you in those hallways, I pray that you say from now on, thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me to play. Last thing I want to tell you is not about games, it's about scripture. I love the scripture and what it says about toil, that if we do our toil right, we will not brood over our days. Isn't that a good word, brood? We will not brood over our days. But you know, when I got to reading this, I was reminded of the creation story. God did not intend us for toil. I just went back and read it. Toil doesn't happen, have you ever noticed that? Until after Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden. They're ejected to what the Bible calls east of Eden. I think we decided east is over here. At 8 o'clock, I pointed over there and they corrected me. But when Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden after they've eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's when toil is introduced. So God never intended for us to toil, but that's how things worked out. God intended us to be in this close relationship with him, close up and nearby and personal. That's what the garden was. The garden was a resort. That's, like I said, that's not how things ended up, but that's how they were intended. So toil was never intended to be the center of our being. It was intended to be this other thing. What was supposed to be the center of our being was this relationship with God. And so we can't let our toil define us. We can't let it be the center of who we are. That's hard because you want to take pride in your work. At least I do. I don't know about you. I want the conference center to look nice. I want my office to be clean, which it never is. I want all the snow to be shoveled so when people get there, they feel welcome. I want the food to taste good. I take a lot of pride in my work. But when I mess up my relationship with God is when my toil, my work, becomes what defines me. Instead of child of God, wife, mother, sister, daughter. These are our children. No, I did not put a slide in just to show off, although I think they're cute. On Friday, we had another snow day in Newton. We've gotten more snow days than you have. I'm so tired of snow days because inevitably we don't have a plan. We don't know who's going to take care of the children, who's going to miss work. We never have it organized before the snow day actually hits, even though we watch the weather and we know it's probably coming. Anybody lived that life? And so Friday we had a late start that turned into a no school day. We have 150 people coming to the Christian Conference Center tonight, and we're not ready for them. I had a sermon that wasn't quite finished. I had started it, but I hadn't quite finished it. My to-do list was a legal pad long, and all my children wanted to do was build a snowman. And all they asked for all morning long was to build a snowman with their mommy. And then they started singing that song from Frozen. Anybody know that one? Do you want to build a snowman? The sky's awake, so I'm awake, so we have to play. So finally I gave in. The sermon can wait. The to-do list can wait. And what I tried to tell myself is that perfect snowman snow, it only comes around once a year. And this is the only winter my children are going to be 2 and 5. They're only little for a little while, as the saying goes. And you know what? In a few years, they're not going to think it's cool to build a snowman with their mommy on their snow day. So I had to make the toil wait. They reminded me, toil has to wait for play. And you know what happened is interesting. After we played, I realized they had finished my sermon for me. When we take a break from our toil to be together in God's presence and to play, we can go back to our toil rejuvenated and finish. So my prayer for you is that the next time it snows, and it inevitably will, right? We live in Iowa or Illinois. I hope you don't see sidewalks to scoop. I hope you don't see driveways to clear. I hope you see in your mind's eye all those children full of the Holy Spirit who are going to get to build snowmen that day. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? God, we are so grateful for your spirit of playfulness, the spirit of joyfulness that we just have to take a hold of. Help us to not make toil the center of our life, but to live in your joy this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.